At Delta, we know Mike in 8C prefers reality TV to reality. So we provide more than 1,000 hours of in-flight entertainment. On the next flight, 8C is Mandy, a foodie. So we offer all types of food options. Because at Delta, everyone flies their own way. Delta, keep climbing.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now, you're multitasking. But what if you could also be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. So multitask right now. Get your quote now at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Tuesday edition of Pro Football Talk Live. Chris Sims, Mike Florio here with you. For the next 2 hours, a break from all the stuff going on in the world. The horrifying images, Chris, I don't know if you've seen this.
Just a little, Mike.
The I-695 Francis Scott Key Bridge hit by one of those giant container ships where they just keep stacking the containers up.
Right.
There's just when you see one of them, it's like, how does that even float? Like, it's this big mass of steel and all the other components they put into the thing, and it ran into
and hit the bottom of the bridge. I kind of saw the video.
Yeah, like and like a mile of the bridge collapses, or part of the bridge collapses. It's a mile long bridge over the harbor in Baltimore, and they are searching the waters there for, I heard 7, I heard 20 people. I've heard of some rescues. It's still a very early state in the effort to rescue anyone who might have gone to the water, but just one of those things where,
how does that even happen?
That's
one of those, right? It's like, where? How did that happen? How are we not past that point? I mean, you know, boats, ships, container ships go underneath a bridge like that on a daily basis. It's just, it's you know, you just don't see a mistake like that to where we put too many containers on top and don't fit under the bridge. I mean, a shame. Like, and yeah, I saw it as I was walking into
work.
I don't think
that's what happened. I think the boat just hit it. I don't think it was a question of not enough clearance.
I
think
it actually hit the pillar.
Supports. Yeah,
okay.
The pillar.
Okay. So I missed that. I saw the video of it collapsing. I saw that I saw underneath it said there was cars on the bridge, and thoughts and prayers to all those out there involved in that right now. That's crazy. Crazy.
It happened at like 1:30 in the morning. It's one of those situations where, you know, if it had happened during rush hour,
holy
morning
crap,
or afternoon, would have been a lot worse than it ended up being, but still very bad for anybody who happened to be out at that hour on that bridge. Well, we're here not for that. We're here to give people a break from that, but there are certain things that happen in the world that you can't ignore, and we'll be thinking about that throughout the day and beyond, that's for sure.
Yep.
So, we pivot now to why we're here, and we're here to talk about what's happening in the National Football League. But before I get there, I do have to say.
Oh, please say something.
Today, you know, well, usually my approach for my attire for the program is I grab whatever is the closest and the cleanest. That's the extent of my wardrobe choices that, you know, that I make for what we do. But today I had to find something with the WV logo on it because I watched a basketball game last night for the first time in a long time, and I watched it, I don't want to say start to finish. Let's say I watched 95% of it because I took a little break during halftime and I didn't get back to my seat, you know, for tip off. If they even have, they don't have a tip off of the second half.
No, they don't.
It's inbounds based upon the possession error. So anyway, and I say this as objectively.
And what are you watching? You're watching the NIT?
No, no, West Virginia. I don't think even made the NIT. I don't know if they.
You're
did.
Watching Caitlin
West
Clark,
Virginia women's team.
Okay.
Go into Iowa.
Gotcha.
To take on Caitlin Clark.
Right. I forgot
in
they
her
were
own house.
Right. Right.
In her last game.
Right.
At Iowa.
And
because
there you are,
going to
be the guy that never watches a game, and all of a sudden is going to root against Caitlin Clark
Sign
for
me
the
up.
First time you ever watch
Sign
it.
Me
Shocker.
Up. I'm not rooting against Caitlin Clark. I'm rooting for the West Virginia Mountaineers women's team in an opportunity to, you know, do something fairly significant to derail this train before it can even get going. The Caitlin Clark, I don't know how good Iowa is. I looked up their record. They're like 30-4.
Yeah, they're
they lost
good.
One game at
yeah.
home all year.
Right.
Anyway, I say this as objectively as I can.
Yeah.
The West Virginia women's team got screwed last night. Screwed. Hashtag rigged.
Did they?
Hashtag
oh, here
too many
goes.
Caitlin Clark commercials.
Here
too
we
much
go.
ESPN investment. We got to make sure that the golden child of college basketball advances. That's what it was last night. It was disgusting. The foul imbalance, and I'm just going off here. The foul imbalance was inexplicable, and they've perfected this move where driving to the hoop, initiate contact with the defender,
right.
and they call the foul on the defender,
right.
make the bucket, and one. That, yeah. It sounds like a good basketball play
by the Hawkeyes. Way to go, Caitlin Clark. Way to draw some
embarrassing
draw a little
for the
foul.
Sport of basketball last
Boom.
Night.
Boom.
The basketball industrial complex is too invested in Caitlin Clark, and it was on display last night.
Oh, my gosh. Early conspiracy. You're not even in this sport.
Got
it's already conspiracy
it's not even
on this.
A conspiracy.
You watch basketball.
Every commercial
I don't
was
believe
Caitlin
anything
Clark.
You say. You don't
They're
watch
so
basketball. You don't even know
Caitlin
what a foul
Clark.
Is or isn't. It's great. That's what
I
you
know what
want.
A foul is.
You want this. This is what you want.
I've been teed up.
Free enterprise. Jeez.
Oh, look, Damian Lillard, whoever that is, agrees with me.
Yeah, right.
I
know.
Me,
you're
honestly,
a basketball
I said, who's
that? Yes,
yes. I said, who's that? I
He's
said,
kind
who's
of a
that?
Big deal, but either way.
Hey, as so long wait, as he
you got screwed.
Me, I know who he is.
So I'm looking here, and you're telling me you got screwed, right? And I'm like, well, man, they must have got screwed. They lost a tight one. You lost by 8. You lost by 10.
It was tied. It's 10.
Okay.
It was tied with 2 minutes left.
I mean, how screwed did you get?
It was tied with 2 minutes left. It was tied with 2 minutes left. That's when they. You know, what do they call it? With the Jets, mobilize the Jets. What do they call it? Circle the fighters. That's what they did.
Yes,
they circled
right.
the fighters. They got the refs.
Right.
They got the refs, you know, for the final 2 minutes because, oh, my God. I mean, she's been tremendously successful, but there's a point where every commercial she's in it. And ESPN has Holly Rowe assigned specifically to cover Caitlin Clark, not the Iowa team, specifically to cover Caitlin Clark. I mean, they can't have her lose in round two at home. You can't have her lose in her final home game. There's the boulder is too big. The boulder that was rolling for the West Virginia women's team was too big. That's one of those situations where you can't have a close game. You've got to win by 20. To win that game, because if you're winning by 20, then you'll at least win by one.
I guess so. I didn't think we'd be talking about this. Yeah. I'm sure. Hey,
Aren't
listen, parts that goes on. We
hey,
know
Chris,
that. That's the
Chris,
world we're in right now.
Fouls,
I mean, right?
11 fouls versus 27 fouls. 5 free throws for West Virginia, 30 for Iowa. That doesn't happen unless somebody's looking to make sure that a certain someone doesn't get bounced in round two. And I'm sorry, but I don't care who it is. I don't follow the sport. All I know is it's been the Caitlin Clark show all year long. Peacock's been invested in it. Anytime she's on, it's big numbers. She's setting this record, that record. My only point is this, and it's not about her. It's about everything around it. Can't have her lose in round two. Too much money to be made as she keeps going higher and higher. Too much value to be generated from the Gatorade commercial.
So who's fixing it? Who's doing it? This is a great – who's putting all this together? They need to head up to CIA. Who's doing it? Who's in charge?
You don't need it. You don't need a code red.
No.
You don't need a code red. The officials have the common sense to know.
Right.
We can't have this.
I know.
It's been going on since
the tale as old as time.
Well,
it's becoming more relevant now, though. It's relevant. More relevant now. Because of social media, I had this conversation with my dad actually a few weeks ago. It's all through all sports. You know, you've seen it in the NBA. We've seen it in college basketball this year. Obviously, I didn't watch this game, but you're alluding to it here. You know, refs are scared to make any calls in big moments especially if there's a home crowd emotionally invested in it. let alone even if not, just because, I mean, they get skewered and killed, you know, by people for missing calls. You know, that's like you said, it's natural, you know, human reaction. Let me survive. Let me not have 17,000 people absolutely hate me and swear at me. I mean, that's to me one of the bad things about the gambling, the social media. It's gone to another level of criticizing the fix, the referees in on it, all of that. I mean, it's almost every close game you look on social media with now. And that's where I think refs are legitimately, like we talk about in the playoffs. I mean, the whole season in the NFL is pass interference, pass interference, pass interference. Then you can, all of a sudden the playoffs, you can get a club out and knock somebody's head off. And they're like, well, we didn't see it. It was just, it's playoff football. You know, but I'm
that
sure there was.
Foul.
Yeah, right. But you know my point.
I haven't seen the word decapitation in the rule book, but I have a feeling that would be a foul. I just my point is this. I'm not prepared to go that granular with it.
Yeah.
All I know is there was no way that college basketball, men's or women's, just the whole NCAA thing, you can't have the biggest star that women's college basketball has ever seen get bounced in her final year in the second round of the NCAA tournament at home in her last game at home. It just can't happen. So 30 fouls against West Virginia, or no, 30 free throws for Iowa and 5 for West Virginia. That imbalance doesn't happen in the normal course of things. That's the officials making sure that the golden child advances. And again, it's not about her. It's about everything around her. The machine is too big to fail. And it wasn't going to fail last night in Iowa with West Virginia coming to town. So anyway, that's it.
Wait, West Virginia, blow them out next time. All right? Stop all the excuses. All right? Jeez, blow them out.
All right. I don't know if Chris is or if Pete, I know Chris is right there. I don't know if Pete's serious about changing the balance of Seg 1 to Shohei Ohtani.
Well, we
and
thought
the new Raptors scandal. The new scandal.
We thought you
had
a roll.
Have you seen this?
No,
you
I haven't seen that. No.
Jonte Porter?
Right.
Jonte Porter, two games, January 26 and March 20, leaves
right.
Very early with an injury, and his unders for all of his props hit. And oh, by the way, there was a lot of action on the unders for his props those nights.
Wow.
Yeah, he's looking.
Whoa.
I think they should get rid of all the prop bets. I think the prop bets should go out
the
window.
That's the biggest
problem.
That
is the area.
Yeah.
Because, yeah, it's too hard for one person to affect the outcome of a game.
Right.
But it's very easy for one person to affect the outcome of that person's prop bets, especially the under. Oh my arm, it's broken. You exit the game. I have a stomach.
What basketball player?
What
basketball player that was? Oh my arm.
It's Rodney Dangerfield at Caddyshack.
It was, okay.
Oh my arm.
Yeah.
Oh my arm.
I was wondering. I was like, I've heard that before. Who are you doing?
All right. Anyway, on to why we're here.
Right.
More areas for controversy for the NFL. Because on the surface, it's like, I like the idea that the hip drop tackle has been banned. But as the NFL often does, it makes it too damn complicated to the point where it's going to be a crap show now trying to figure out what's legal and what's not. Before we get to it, here's John Harbaugh, not Jim, but John Harbaugh from yesterday before the vote talking about the hip drop tackle. Here's what he had to say.
I think the hip drop, taking the hip drop out of the game is the right thing to do. I think, again, Roger and Troy are on the right path with that. The competition committee is on the right path with that. It'd be good if it does pass, in my opinion.
Well, and he has a very specific reason to say that, because he lost a player last year for an extended stretch, a key player in Mark Andrews.
Almost lost Lamar in the same game, too. Almost, you know.
Happened,
right?
That's right. Happened on Thursday night. Here's the problem.
Yeah.
And the rule is what the rule is. But they've apparently made a distinction between the hip drop tackle and the swivel hip drop tackle. Apparently there's an Elvis twist to this, where it's not just grab and fall, it's grab and like spin and land on the legs. And let me tell you something. There's the language of the rule. And the key is part B. The defensive player unweights himself. Can't we use English for this? Unweights him. And I've never heard the word unweight before this rule.
It's a Simsism.
Unweights himself.
They've been talking
to me
a little bit.
by swiveling and dropping his hips and or lower body, landing on and trapping the runner's legs at or below the knee. Let me tell you something. This is going to be a mess And here's why. Here's the easiest reason why. I don't think this was off the record. When the rule passed yesterday, you know, we pick a photo for every one of our stories. We've got a database with different services, and we go through and we find the right photo. And the photo that we've been using for the hip drop tackle for months, one of them is various angles of Mark Andrews against the Bengals having his lower leg severely injured in that Thursday night game. So that's one of the photos that was used with the rule that the hip drop tackle is now banned. And Shereen Williams at the meetings and me in my lair independently heard from the Bengals, please don't use that photo because this is legal under the rule. This is legal. This is not an example of a violation. I give up, Chris. How is this not a violation? Well, and how are we going to determine a violation if this is not a violation? Isn't this the whole point?
Well, we talked about this last week.
Isn't Mark Andrews playing a poster child of the hip drop?
Right. No. I mean, it definitely is. But we showed these plays last week when we talked about it a little bit. And, you know, one of the things we talked about, or at least I brought up, as I said, this was one of the least egregious ones that we saw all year. Now, it was a big deal because it was Thursday night, standalone game, and we're all sitting there watching it, and that's great. But it's because of Logan Wilson coming in so low, it's one of the harder ones to see. We're used to the ones where, hey, the guy's up here by the shoulder, and they bear hug, and then drop the hips like that and bring it all down. We're used to seeing that look. This was one where, you know, he's going in low and has an incredible upper body strength, even though low, to still kind of pull himself through and, like you're saying, basically get to the hip drop tackle, but maybe not with this new language exactly. But I think this is one where, Mike, you and I became a little obsessed with it during the regular season. You know it when you see it, right? That one's a tough one, but I feel like 99 out of 100 of the ones we've seen, like, there'll be hip drop tackles. Those will be penalties, and we'll know it, right? I mean, we've brought up other examples. That one there is a tough one. But, yes, I would still think that's hip drop tackle with the way it played out.
I was doing some digging on this last week, and yeah. I heard some stuff that made me think, wait a minute. They really aren't as worried about the flags being thrown as they are about having the ability to go back and study frame by frame and find guys later. And it's like, I remember thinking, why are they
so worried
thinking it's going to be difficult to throw the flag? We know it when we see it. Well, I didn't realize they were planning on trying to, as Jerry Jones would say, circumcise a mosquito and create a distinction between Mark Andrews' tackle legal and some of these others not legal. Here's the video they played yesterday at the press conference announcing the rule change
right.
of examples of plays that are
banned. Yeah.
There's the pull-down. See, that's what we're going to be looking for.
Well, what's the difference between that and the Logan Wilson one? That's what I want to say to them. Like, what's the difference?
Well,
he's 5 inches higher?
I don't know. That one, what's that? Yeah. This is not going to – these are all violations, but the Mark Andrews isn't a violation. So, look, what's going to happen is they're not going to throw the flags because Rich McKay said it himself yesterday. He's the chair of the competition committee. The officials have to see all the elements, and we showed you the elements earlier, the swiveling, the unweighting, landing on and trapping the leg. Now, here's the Geno Smith thing on the sideline. They're just never going to be able to see this in real time and throw a flag. What's going to happen is it's going to be just like the rule against lowering the helmet, initiating forcible contact with an opponent. It's rarely going to be flagged. It's repeatedly going to be fined.
Yeah.
It's going to be fined all the time. And then our friend Derek Brooks, who you could tell when we had him on the show Super Bowl week, he was not looking forward to what's coming here.
Yeah, right.
Trying to figure out what is and what isn't.
Right.
And you're going to have a lot of these appeals because you're going to have John Runyon, who's in charge of figuring out who gets fined, who gets suspended, who gets disciplined for on-field infractions, coming to one conclusion, and then Derek Brooks or James Thrash, the two hearing officers, maybe coming to a different conclusion. But I think, Chris, the big takeaway, now I understand why I was being told last week that this is more about having the ability to correct afterward with fines than it is to throw flags in real time, because I don't think the officials are going to be confident they've seen naked eye, full speed, just like we were watching those plays of the violations. Wait a minute. How's that a violation? Wait a minute. How's that one? The first one, yes. The rest of them, I couldn't keep up with it. Like, these look like the Mark Andrews play. So this, I don't know why they just didn't see. I think they were afraid that it was going to be too broad and it was going to encompass too many techniques. So they're trying to find this line.
Yeah.
That they think they're going to be able to discern.
Right.
And there's going to be stuff on the right side and stuff on the wrong side. Good luck. I'm glad I'm not the one that has to figure out where that line is and apply it on a regular basis, because I'm not sure I could.
Yeah, it's going to be tough. It is. I'm sure it'll, you know, make things interesting on Sunday. And we're going to definitely have some ones where we're going to go, hey, that's hip drop. And, you know, there's not going to be a penalty. And then they're going to come out a few days later. And we're going to go, oh, it should have been penalized, right? I think a lot of them, you know, the referees, they've been around football now too, right? I bet you it gets flagged a little bit more than maybe they're letting on right away here. I do. You know, one, you know, the Mark Andrews one, I think the one thing that separates it is he doesn't unweigh himself because he's running with his momentum, right? The other ones that we watched are a little bit more like what I call rodeo hog ties. We're going to tie them up and just hang on and just bring them down that way. And those ones, I feel like the referees, as they get used to this, will be able to see this, right? But this is, you know, this one's different. And this one's, yeah, it's a little on the fringe or on the line right there. And I get that. I do. But if we could go back and show, you know, the rest of the tape that they released to the league there.
I just don't.
Yeah, it's really tough one there.
I don't see how that's not.
I know.
Don't see how that's not.
I'm with you, too.
You said he unweighted himself. Actually, you said unweighs himself, so you made a Simsism on the NFL Simsism. He unweights himself there because that's how you're trying to get the guy to the ground. That's the whole idea. You grab him and you fall down. So now they want to see the grab. They want to see the swivel. They want to see the unweight. They want to see the leg.
Like that right there. Slow down, guys, if we can. Like even rewind these a little. Like, I mean, come on. Now, I don't know how anybody, and you know me, I'm all for the defense and all of that, right? And we're hearing coaches like like that right there. That cannot be a part of the game.
That one's clearly.
That clearly.
When you throw the legs up.
We knew this was clearly. But yet it's not that much different than the Logan Wilson one. It's a little different, but he does hit him up higher and then just drops his body. And I feel bad for defenders. I know this is not going to be easy. It's not. But I think you're hearing coaches and people like me where it's just, hey, we're seeing people lose their legs and lose money and their careers aren't the same. This has got to go. And where I say it's a tough adjustment for the defense to go through these adjustments. I know that, right? But they've gone through this before. They're capable. And what I would say to a lot of the defensive players out there is just that this tackle, we can survive this, defensive players. This wasn't even a way people tackled 20 years ago. You can go watch a game in the 90s and watch John Elway and the Broncos, right? Whatever. Nobody's ever brought down
right,
like this.
Right, because you could go in head first like a missile and blow them up back
you
then.
You could, but
this is an outgrowth of the obsession with safety, the proper obsession with safety when it comes to the use of the helmet. This is the adjustment. This is the evolution of the game. This is a twist on
the
rugby
tackle.
Right. Apparently in rugby, they had to get rid of this too at some point. I've gotten a couple emails about that.
They did because they were breaking fibulas and
tibulas. Here's my point.
Yeah, go ahead.
Fibula, tibula.
Tomato, tomato.
You know who we mean. Tibia, fibula. Tibia, fibula, you got me all messed up now. Here's the point. I'm with you.
I know you are.
I'm just perplexed by how the Mark Andrews play isn't a foul.
Yeah, I hear you.
Like, and here's my concern, to get back to why I selected my choice, you know, in attire today.
Hey, Lynn Clark.
This now is another thing where if there's an official that wants to put his or her thumb on the scale and throw that flag and call a hip drop when it looks kind of like one, but it's not, but I'm going to use my discretion to throw that flag. It's just another way that the officials can insinuate themselves into the game when they want to, or not when they don't want to. Because this whole thing that they've created by trying to draw that line, I don't know whether it's to appease the defensive players who complained anyway. They're still going to complain.
Yeah, it's tough for them. I feel bad
for them. Or they didn't know how to properly word it. Like, how do we – see, this is the thing they always struggle with. We know what we want out of the game, but how do we properly word it? And by creating the language of the rule in a way that makes the Mark Andrews, Logan Wilson play on the It's fine to go ahead and do this. That's what's confusing to me. If I'm Mark Andrews, I'm like, well, wait a minute. They can do this to me again? To me, I understand there are some of these plays where...
Yeah, they left a little gray area here.
It is egregious and obvious. When you grab the guy and you throw your legs out and you're like, I'm hauling this guy down, I'm spinning him down, it's almost like a wrestling move.
Right.
Like it's a finishing move in the WWE.
Right.
Okay. I still think that the Andrews play should be something that falls within the scope of the penalty. I think it's a failure by the league to allow that donut hole because it's going to create issues with officiating. And it's still going to not solve the problem of guys suffering serious lower leg injuries because they're being dragged down in a way that their legs are being caught under the defensive player, the very technique they're trying to get rid of. They stopped short of getting rid of the full technique. That's what bothers me. I agree with you completely.
Yeah.
And the defensive players, we were showing the clip, all these guys complaining. They always complain. They complained about the hits to the head and neck area of defenseless players. I wrote something about that over the weekend. Peter King had a great article in Sports Illustrated, November 1, 2010. Ryan Clark complaining, Kevin Mawai complaining, guys complaining about the penalties thrown when a guy goes in hot with his helmet and blows up a receiver. They adjusted, and they'll adjust to this. My question is, what the hell are they adjusting to? Because Mark Andrews, legal, all these other ones not legal. Good luck discerning in real time at full speed how to stay on the right side of the line.
Yeah, I hear you. I would definitely like to hear the exact language that 345 or the rules committee would use for the Logan Wilson one to explain that a little bit. I would, right? Because I do. Like you're saying, I think it's leaving a little too much gray area in the rule. And, yeah, it's going to confuse people, and it's going to be inconsistent because of that. Right now, the defensive players, yeah, of course, they're going to holler and be a little mad and angry, and I feel for them. I mean, come on, man, it's hard playing defense in the NFL right now. It is hard, right? But, you know, again, I think it was an overall objective person who loves the game and how we look at it, right? Just like a John Harbaugh, he loves his defensive players, but he's watching football throughout the league on a weekly basis, and he's going, wait, that guy's hurt. He's out for the year because of hip drop. Ooh, that guy's done for the year. Hip drop. Oh, that guy's missing 6 weeks. Hip drop. Oh, that guy was going to be a free agent and get $10 million a year. He's not going to get it now. Hip drop. So that's where, you know, I hope the defensive players can understand that. But I feel for them. I really do. The quarterback rules, the lowering of the head, yet the offense lowers the head and hits them all the time, as we know, right? And that's not quite as consistent. It's tough playing football in the NFL right now. But what I would say to it again is on some of those tackles, the hip drop was not necessary, right? That's where I would like to have a constructive conversation with those type of guys and just go, listen, here's a tape from 15 years ago, similar situation, similar angle, guys carrying the ball, right? And I know, hey, again, it's tough and we've taken away some avenues for you to hit, but here's how people 15 years ago used to tackle in this situation all the time. This wasn't a thing, you know, again. And there was, you know, hey, we tackle, we go, we let our momentum go, and we wrap up, and we take him with you. That's what we used to see in the old days. Now it's get there, wait, kind of stop for a second so I can bear hug and then do that. And I do think the players will be able to make that adjustment. It's just, yeah, it's going to be tough for them, and it's not as a guaranteed way to get guys down. And that's why defenders like that tackle move so much. Just like Devin McCourty, right? He was all for it, too, at first. Oh, wait, you can't get rid of hip drop tackle. And then we started to point it out to him a little bit more, like, hey, look, this guy's hurt, that guy's hurt. And he started to come around a little bit. I hope the defensive guys will come around, too.
At Delta, we know Mike in 8C prefers reality TV to reality. So we provide more than 1,000 hours of in-flight entertainment. On the next flight, 8C is Mandy, a foodie. So we offer all types of food options. Because at Delta, everyone flies their own way. Delta, keep climbing.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
Q hear that? It's the call of the Crave. And when the Crave calls, you know what to do. Try the $5 Bacon Bundle. Because the only thing better than a White Castle slider is a White Castle slider topped with crispy hickory smoked bacon. So pick any two of either the Bacon Cheese Slider, 1921 Bacon Cheese Slider, or Chicken Bacon Ranch Slider. And also get a small fry for just $5 with the $5 Bacon Bundle. White Castle. Follow your Crave.
Here's something Rich McKay said yesterday to try to explain what this balance is between legal Mark Andrews, which shouldn't be, but is, and the other ones that we show that are illegal. I've heard defenders say before, and I hear them, hey, you're putting me in a really tough spot. You're saying I can't hit here, and what do I do? My response has always been, well, you can't do that. That's just because the guy you're hitting is defenseless. He has no way to protect himself. So we've got to protect him. We've got to come up with other ways. And you know what they do? Yes, we outlawed the hip drop, but what you may think are the drag from behind where he falls on the, that's still a tackle. Yeah. This is only that tackle where the player is lifting himself in the air and then falling on the legs. But, Chris, the rule doesn't say you have to lift yourself in the air. See, this is the problem I have with the entire rulemaking process. They know what they want to do, and there's nobody in the room who can take what they want to do and properly articulate it in the form of a rule. The rule doesn't say throw yourself in the air. It says unweight yourself, which is exactly what Logan Wilson did to Mark Andrews. That's why I'm having an issue with this. And I think what happened is last year they felt compelled to get the hip drop out of the game. They didn't have a cohesive, cogent, comprehensive rule that could be properly reduced to writing and voted on, so it died. Now this year, somebody in the league office decided, probably all the way up to the guy whose name is on the football, this has to go. This has to go. Make it go. So they do the best they can to make it go. And in the aftermath of it, we're like, well, what the hell? What's this rule? What's allowed? What's not allowed? This is what happens when everybody goes to the site of the league meeting and it's part social, part business. It's got to be part business to justify the write-off. But then they get everybody in the room and they just cram this stuff through. They cram it through without talking it through, without thinking it through, and without understanding. There's a line here that isn't bright. There's no line in the concrete, as you would say. It's very blurry. And I don't think guys are going to know what is and what isn't allowed until we see some guys losing money from their game check and some guys not. And this guy's got to appeal, and maybe he wins. And maybe he doesn't. And maybe after 2, 3, 4 years, they'll finally understand. We'll all understand. But this is just another one of those. Remember how long it took the NFL to figure out what a catch is? This is even harder. What is and what isn't an illegal swivel, hip drop, unweight, throw your legs in the air? This is just an example of periodic, not all the time, gross incompetence by the NFL to take a problem and solve it in a way that makes sense. And I thought they were on the right track. I'm doing a 180 on this. I thought they were on the right track. I'm now at the point where I'm saying, I appreciate what you're trying to do, but y'all have screwed it up because this is going to be a mess going forward. Put me down now. I'm planting the flag in the ground now. This is going to be a mess going forward.
Yeah, I mean, listen, I worry about it too. I mean, it definitely adds to questioning, you know, how it'll be officiated, and can there be a different, is there a way to differentiate, right, between a Logan Wilson tackle and the Tony Pollard tackle we saw on the video in real time? I don't disagree with you there.
Exactly.
It's going to be very tough to see that. You know, so that's where, I don't love that.
Here it is in a nutshell.
Use it by, taking that off and saying that's not the hip drop tackle, you know, because it's fine line language or whatever, right, like we've talked about with other rules. The language doesn't always make sense, and that's what I think confuses the situation.
Here's the problem, and Miles Simmons and I were talking about this on Friday. We thought this was a know-it-when-you-see-it situation. Shout out to Potter Stewart from the landmark Supreme Court case about determining obscenity. You know it when you see it. We thought with this, you know it when you see it. That's not the case now. That's the problem. That's the nutshell problem I have with this. It's no longer you know it when you see it, because I thought that was it, but it's not it. I thought Mark Andrews was it, but it's not it. So what the hell is it? And you don't need those in the NFL. You don't need those. Full speed, real time, flash, bang, bang. How in the hell? See, we're rarely going to see this called as a foul. This is all about creating an opportunity for the NFL to go take money out of guys' paychecks to get them to comply with a rule that they're not going to know what the hell it is. So maybe the end result is they're not even going to put their hand close to the flame. Maybe this is a way to get players to stop doing it altogether, because you never know when you're going to get the envelope in your locker 2 days later whacking you for whatever the specific number is going to be, $15,328.52. Right. You know how those fines are. It's just like, what the hell? Let's can we use round numbers, please? But you're never going to know when it's going to happen. That's my problem with it.
Yeah.
It's too vague. They took something that we thought was going to be clear and simple, and they've made it hopelessly complicated and vague.
Yeah, hopefully they'll clear that up, right? Well, you know, whether it's a tape to the public, and of course I would think they show the players and try to help them, you know, show what's legal, what's not legal, and maybe we have more conversations as we go forward here with the NFL where they can explain it to us. But yeah, that definitely, on a day where it was like, hey, cool, that's great, yeah, it adds, you know, like I keep saying, that little gray area. But the big thing too here, right, is it's not taught in practice, right? Nobody teaches anybody to tackle like that at all, right? And I understand defenders are paid to get guys down and all that. I understand that. But, you know, just like with, you know, the illegal crackback block on defenders, right, and doing that. Right, well, we're trying to make the game better. You know, we didn't talk about, oh, you know, the defenders are soft and all that. We recognize that, wow, you guys, defenders, are put at a vulnerable spot, and people are cracking back when you guys aren't looking and knocking your damn heads off. Right? Let's make the game better. Right? I didn't hear defenders then going, man, they're making the game soft. They shouldn't do that. Right? This is why this needs to be done. It's an endangerment to the brotherhood of your players. That's where it is. Can we show the league video one more time? Specifically, like, I want to show one more with the Ryan Tannehill play, right? I think it's about the third or fourth play. So, I mean, there, that's so egregious. And, I mean, we're lucky guys aren't losing their legs, like seriously here. I mean, these are broken bones, out for the year. See you later. Right? So that's horrible. It's got to go. Okay? You know, there, again, you know, yes, just grab on, drop the body weight. Not as egregious maybe as the other two, but still dangerous. But here, if we can slow down the Ryan Tannehill one that's going to come up here in a second. Here's my other big thing, too. Because it's become such a guaranteed way to get guys down and do that, and because of the gloves, like I talk about, where nobody falls off anymore either, right? You add all that together, that's the route guys are taking. But a lot of the times, like, listen, there's Justin Madubuike. He doesn't need to do hip drop tackle to take down 220-pound Ryan Tannehill when he weighs 305 pounds. If he just held on and kept rolling and brought him, he would have brought Ryan Tannehill right down with him, right? And I'm not trying to fault Justin Madubuike, who's an amazing player. But these are ones where, in the old days, the defender would have grabbed him and kept going and then just would have brought the guy down with him. But because of the gloves and because of the technique and it becoming so popular and it becoming a guaranteed way to get guys down, guys are just going, the hell with the normal tackle. The hell with I've practiced all year, whatever. I'm just going to get them down right now. And, you know, that's where it's an endangerment to the NFL society that way.
Actually, in the old days, Madubuike would have gone in helmet first,
maybe
blown
that
up
too.
Ryan Tannehill, or
right.
Or a pile driver like Turkey Joe Jones with Terry Bradshaw, although that was a violation of the rules even back in 1976 or thereabouts. Look, when the target is stationary, it's very easy to see the violation of the rule that they passed. And I'm with you on all this. And first of all, ignore what the defenders are saying. They always are going to complain about any rule that makes it harder for them to do their jobs. They're always going to complain about it, and the NFL is always going to ignore it. So that's just noise. But as it relates to what is and isn't allowed, what they're going to try to do is allow this, like, drag to the ground from behind, as long as you don't do
the horse collar.
Calf rope.
Oh yeah, or
the calf rope.
Right.
Yeehaw!
Yeah,
it's got to have that yeehaw component to it, where the guy gets the calf and throws his body out to pull the calf to the ground. You can still drag him down, but you can't slam him down. And where it's going to be very difficult to draw the line is when you're talking about a pursuit tackle. And, you know, my first thought when this was a thing last year was the guy's got to get the ball carried to the ground before he can get the ball to the line to gain or the goal line. The whole idea is stop the ball carrier as quickly as you can before he advances the ball. The whole game is about advancing the ball as far as you can. So this is where it's going to be tricky. And I wish it wasn't like this. And this is where I guess defensive players should be happy. They didn't completely take away their ability to tackle a player from behind. You just can't yell yeehaw and throw your legs up into the air and slam him to the ground.
Right.
You have to grab him and take him down, even though he could still break his ankle. That's where I'm struggling with this. They're allowing a maneuver that is still inherently unsafe to stay in the game.
Yeah.
And this is why when we see a guy, a pursuit in the pocket.
Right.
In the tackle box, it's going to be hard because there's bodies everywhere. Did he really land on his leg? Is it really trapped? We're only going to see the flag, I think, in pursuit where you have the yeehaw component, as I'll call it.
No doubt.
Where the guy, you know, throws his legs up and slams the guy down.
That's right. If the guy's hanging on from behind, he's got his hands by his waist, right, like that, and now he's just pulling him down, he's going to use his body and just like that, but he's not going to throw his feet up in the air, but he's just going to drag him down, they're going to let him go there. They're going to let that go. And I do think there's some nuance there, right, to where I would say when you are an offensive player in that situation, right, you can feel, wait, he's got me, he's bringing me down, right? I'm in the tough spot, I'm about to go down, and you can get your feet out of the ground, right? The problem with what we're talking with a hip drop tackle for an offensive player is you're getting stuck, and now because of the dropping and the total weightlessness of like, hey, the defender's just going to go dead weight and all that, offensive guys can't get their legs out of the ground. They can't. So now, wait, I know I'm in a vulnerable position. Oh, no, right? But, oh, gosh, there's a guy that's 265 pounds on my back, and I can't lift my leg, and he's actually pulling me down as he's doing this in the process, and now I can't get my leg out of the ground, and now I have a broken ankle or a dislocated ankle like a Dak Prescott like we talked about a few years ago or whatever. That's I think, there is a little nuance to that. Even though the other one's still not the safest thing in the world, right? Don't get me wrong. I do think there's a little bit of a difference there and a safety issue or less of a safety issue for offensive guys.
This is something that's not going to go away. And I had a vision during something you were saying earlier of our annual meeting with the NFL where we go over all these rule changes. And let's just say the conversation will be robust during that session as we all try to understand what is and what is not a violation of the rules. And hopefully they'll have it refined by then. Hopefully it'll all make sense by then. Jeff Miller, the head of VP and safety for the NFL, said yesterday that there were 230 illegal hip drop tackles last year, resulting in 15 players missing time due to injury. They're trying to reduce the injuries. My point continues to be, if the Mark Andrews play is legal, are you really doing what you set out to do? Time will tell. This is something that, and I'm pivoting to a new topic here, I don't think was one of the proposals that the league announced in advance. And they do have a history of doing that, slipping something through that wasn't shared with the media. They have passed a proposal to allow the replay assistant to fix objective mistakes on roughing the passer and intentional grounding. And they're insisting it's purely objective. For example, if the foul is that a quarterback took a forcible blow to the head and video shows that there was no blow to the head at all, then they're going to pick up the flag.
Yeah.
Now, forcible versus not forcible is subjective. So it's got to be that the video shows he didn't even touch his head.
Yeah, right.
Right?
Right. Right, like
and
the old
in, you know,
old
for intentional
video
grounding.
Yeah, okay, go ahead, Mike. Sorry.
And intentional grounding, the guy clearly was not out of the pocket. Now, I don't know how objective it is if a guy's in or out of the pocket because it's not like there's clear lines as to where the pocket ends. So it's got to be – I just think this is something that is going to be potentially problematic, and I'm not sure that they disclosed it ahead of time, and this is one of those that they probably didn't want to disclose ahead of time. because people would have asked a lot of questions that they just didn't want to answer.
Yeah, well, hopefully, you know, this one's not as clunky maybe as the other one. You know, again, it, at least it's the official assistant replay person. You hope that they can keep the game moving this way, right? I do think there's been a number of, wait, we gave the quarterback the benefit of the doubt of throwing the ball away, and then we watch back on Skycam or whatever on the replay and go, well, I know there's not a line drawn on the field, but I see the right tackle lined up on the hash here, and the quarterback did not go outside the hash. In fact, he's 2 yards inside of it, and they let him throw it away, and that should have been intentional grounding. So hopefully those are things where, hey, it's pretty obvious, whatever, boom, moving on. Right? I like that. The other one, which we were talking about, what's the other? The roughing the passer. I also like that as well. Again, I'm with you. I don't, you know, if it's close, they're going to let it be. But, like, if we have an instance like, what was that, the 2018 AFC Championship game, right? A big third down. They called roughing on Brady. We watched the replay back 5 times, and it never even came close to his head. He got hit on the shoulder, and they got a first down in a big moment because of that. Yeah, I don't want to see that. So, you know, those are things that, hey, there's defenders. You got one thing. Maybe they'll be less, you know, bull crap. You know, what's my phrase for roughing the passer? Nothing the passers this year.
Nothing the passer.
Right.
How could you forget it? You're the one that came up with it. Okay.
I know.
here's the thing that, and I just fired off an email to Brian McCarthy, the chief NFL spokesman, to find out, was this a proposal? Was it subject to a vote? How did this even come to be? Because it wasn't disclosed last week to the media as part of the pre-league meetings. Here's all the stuff we're going to be taking up. We didn't know they were taking this up as of last week. Unless I'm forgetting something, which is entirely possible.
I don't remember hearing
it. We didn't know.
Right.
This was going to be on the agenda. It's the first time the replay assistant will have powers that fall beyond the scope of a replay review.
Right.
Because this stuff, roughing the passer, is not subject to replay review. Intentional grounding, I don't believe is subject to replay review. You know, the objective elements of, did the ball make it past the line of scrimmage? Maybe it is, but the roughing the passer definitely is not something that is subject to replay review. So you can't throw a red challenge flag and say he didn't touch his head.
Right.
But the replay assistant has that 30-second window within which to determine objectively the head wasn't touched. And look, I'm not complaining because they're inching their way toward full-blown sky judge and let's fix these rulings on the field. They're giving me what I want, but they're giving it to me one little kernel at a time. And I think this is part of their way. You know how, like, you ease yourself into a hot bathtub?
Right.
Like, you don't just jump in. You ease your way in. They are easing their way into this hot bathtub of Sky Judge. That's what they're doing. So I can't really complain about the approach, but let's just hope that it works. And I'm all in favor, and I'm always behind the idea of getting the calls right, whatever it takes to get the calls right. And speaking of that, and this is just an example because everybody thinks that the competition committee is like this omnipotent body and whatever they say goes, whatever they recommend the owners do. And it's just not the case. The owners do whatever they want to do. The competition committee doesn't nearly have the influence that people think it has. Now, it has the power to set the table. But, hey, if they don't set the table, a team can bring up an issue and the owners can say, we like that, we're doing it. And that's what happened with a proposal from the Lions. Previously, you had to get both of your red challenge flags right. You had to be upheld when you used your 2 challenge flags to get a third from the coach's challenge system. The Lions proposed, and the competition committee did not co-opt it. It wasn't a competition committee proposal. It was a Lions proposal. If you just get one of the two right, you get a third challenge. And lo and behold, the owners passed it over the silence of, or maybe even objection of, the competition committee. The owners passed it with at least 24 votes. So now all you have to do is get one of your two right, and you get number 3. That's thanks to the Lions for that innovation to the way the NFL coaches can express strenuous objection to the calls on the field.
I'm all for it. Way to go, Lions, Brad Holmes, Dan Campbell, everybody there, right? You know, Chris Spielman, everybody. I mean, I like it too. That's one where I just feel like, hey, you know, common sense there, right? Why should you be, wait, I got a first challenge right, Now I'm not sure. I like to challenge this. It's late in the third quarter. I'm pretty sure, but damn, it's my last challenge. And if I don't get this right, man, I got nothing to challenge in the fourth quarter and maybe in a moment that's even bigger than this. But this is pretty big, and I got my first challenge right. So why should I have to, like, oh, I hope I don't lose all my challenges here, even though I got the first one right? To me, it makes sense. It's common sense. I'm glad the NFL adopted it. And, you know, I don't think anybody's going to push back on this one.
The whole process of getting it right should not be a game. And I've had it explained to me that, yeah, some coaches think the NFL likes the whole, is he taking the red flag out?
Yeah, sure.
Can he find the red flag? Yeah. Where's Jeff Fisher's red flag? Where's his red flag? Is he throwing it or not? He's holding it. Is he going to drop it? They like that. Just like they like the stick. You know, they're moving toward digital. And again, it's slipping into the hot bathtub. Use of digital technology to determine whether or not a team got to the line to gain. But boy, they love that moment where out comes the stick and they're going to pull it tight. What's going to happen when they pull it tight? You know, oh, here it comes. Oh, did he make it? Did he not? Oh, I don't know. Maybe we need a little note card, Gene Steratore. They love that stuff. And I think they like that component of the red challenge flag. It shouldn't be a guessing game. It shouldn't be a chess match. It shouldn't be, do I use my challenges when I get screwed early in the game, or should I save them for later because I might get screwed in the fourth quarter? I remember in Super Bowl 37, Bucks Raiders, like John Gruden had to use both of his early, and it's like, dude, you're out now. You're out now. You're done. And I think that was before, and I know that was before they had automatic review after scoring plays. The only saving grace was the final 2 minutes or overtime. Not that that game was even close to going to overtime. But you burn up your challenges early, and you're just done.
Yeah.
It shouldn't be that way.
No.
It should be get it right.
Yeah.
That's what the NFL should be.
Get it right, but
it right.
I'm not in favor, and I don't think you're saying this. I'm not in favor of like them having unlimited challenges and doing that. Yeah, okay.
I don't think they should have any challenges.
Right.
I think it should be like the college system.
Gotcha.
Yeah, and not for every play. I've said in the past that they should just have automatic replay review. Now, you should do sky judge for any clear error that can be fixed, because the sky judge is a member of the officiating crew who's got the benefit of what we see at home, who can get in the referee's ear and say, we got that wrong, let's fix it. Everybody at home sees it. I see it. You didn't. Let's fix it. For replay review, for the full-blown, you know, after further review, clear and obvious evidence, plays that either were or would have been a first down if ruled correctly on the field, plays that were or would have been a touchdown or a field goal if ruled correctly on the field, scoring plays, safety as well, if ruled correctly on the field, turnovers that would have been or that were if ruled correctly on the field, and then final 2 minutes in overtime. Like, if you've got first and 10 and you complete a pass and they spot it 4 yards instead of 5 yards down the field, we're not stopping the game for that. We're just going to live with it. But if it got to the first down marker and maybe it shouldn't have, we're going to review that. That's just a way, I think, you don't need any of that. You don't need the red coach's flag then. You just address in those moments, and that's it. Otherwise, replay assistant can swoop in if it's a clear error. If it should be second and 5 instead of second and 6, let the replay assistant deal with it. I just think that's what it should be, and I think they're
going
to get
there. I think it's going there,
the red flag is going to disappear.
I'm with you.
One of these years, the red flag is going to disappear altogether. The kickoff is potentially going to disappear. And this gets back to the dynamics we were talking about earlier. They get everybody there, and they try to push it through. They try to get it through. They want to get this kickoff change through now instead of bumping it to May, because apparently the people who have to draft players want to know, should I prioritize an explosive kick returner? If we're going to have a kickoff in the NFL again, I'd like to know about it before I make the pick. That's why I think they want to get this done now instead of May. Here is yesterday John Mara talking to Mike Garofalo of NFL Media about the kickoff rule. Listen closely to what Mara says about where things stand.
Right now we have a play that is just a ceremonial play. You know, you look at the Super Bowl where you had 13 kickoffs and no returns, and we don't want that. We also don't want the old kickoff because the rate of injury was just too high. So I think we need to try something. There's a lot of fear about what the unintended consequences will be, but we still have a little bit of work to do, and if we can twist some arms tonight, maybe we'll take another vote in the morning.
Maybe we'll take another vote in the morning. What does that imply? It implies that they already took a vote, even if it was just a straw vote, to figure out how many in the room are for it and how many are against it. And they're twisting arms at the cocktail party last night to try to get to 24. That's exactly what happened last year between March and May. In March, they didn't have enough votes to give the commissioner what he wanted, the ability to flex Thursday night football games in and out. They twisted arms between March and May. The difference here, Chris, the draft happens between now and May, and teams want to know, do I go ahead and use that fourth round pick on the guy that runs a 4-3, who's a great kick returner, can't catch, you know, can't run a route, a real project at any other position, but he's a great kick returner, and I need him now because they've passed this hybrid kickoff rule. I think that's why they're going to try to get it done today. I say tread lightly because you may end up with a mess, but it feels like the proponents are trying to get it done today.
Yeah, well, I understand. I mean, I think your reasoning's right, right? Do I want to think about kick return, making that more of a novelty with my football team? I think the other thing is like we're sitting here 20 days from the first time teams are going to start doing OTAs and stuff, 25, you know, we're getting there. Teams start to have their OTAs a week before the draft, 2 weeks before the draft. Right, I think there's a part there where it's going, wait, we're going to reinvent the way we kick the ball off. We'd like to know if this is going to be a thing so we can start, you know, getting our coaches' heads wrapped around it a little bit. We can start practicing it and teaching it to our team a little bit in a walkthrough before the OTA. Get the thing going that way. It is different. Again, there's going to be, you know, a lot of playing with this and how this works out and all that. This is new to the NFL. So I'm actually shocked that it just isn't unanimous. I mean, what I want to know is, like, what are the other owners even pushing against? You know, we're talking about time and money and all that, and all I do is sit there and you waste my freaking time every Sunday watching a damn kickoff. Like John Mara just said, it's ceremonial. You get to the Super Bowl, all that. We got to sit there, the DJ plays music, to kick a ball down the field to do nothing. Right? I mean, we all lost like 25, 27 minutes of our life just watching kickoffs in the Super Bowl. Right? So that's to me where I just want to go, like, what owners are pushing back against this? If we're not going to do it the old way and have it the old way, the new way is the only way to go to keep this in the game and keep it relevant.
I think the problem is, and I've been studying these proposals for years now that they send out, most of them are like half a page. This is like page after page after page. This is the most complicated proposal they've ever had. And it has questions. It has consequences that will both be intended and unintended and completely unforeseen. We were talking yesterday about, okay, wait, they're moving the touchback point from the 35 in the initial proposal now to the 30. So if the Dolphins are using Tyreek Hill and all he's got to do is get past this one line of defenders who are all bunched together 5 yards away from the bulk of the receiving team's blockers, all he's got to do is make one move and he's gone. Well, I'm just going to kick it out of bounds anyway, and it's going to be a dead play again if the downside is talked through. There's a lot that still needs to be resolved. They still haven't completely resolved how they're going to do the penalty enforcement. As of last week, they had one explanation in the proposal, and I was told that that still is likely going to be tweaked because remember we were talking about you don't want it to be open season on touchdown plays and on plays that, you know, you're going for two or you got the point after because who cares about where you move the kickoff point because all the rest of the play stays the same. So I just think that there's a lot there. And it's too much to do in what's become the truncated annual meetings. And you're going to have people trying to get to their jets today and get home. It's just a lot to do in a short meeting when you have May as the fallback. But the difference here is you've got a strategic event in the draft where people may need to load up their return units because now something that is dead is very much alive again. And Pete tells me we should break. And so we will. When we return, will the Patriots trade out of the third overall spot in the draft, which begins in just 29 days? We'll discuss that next here on PFT Live.
At Delta, we know Mike in 8C prefers reality TV to reality. So we provide more than 1,000 hours of in-flight entertainment. On the next flight, 8C is Mandy, a foodie. So we offer all types of food options. Because at Delta, everyone flies their own way. Delta, keep climbing.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.